Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Friday, December 3rd, 2021. Coming up this hour,
Congress passes a stopgap spending bill to avert a government shutdown.
New York becomes the fourth state to report cases of the Omicron variant.
Wall Street prepares for November's jobs report.
And it looks like the nationwide worker shortage is set to extend into the new year.
A Michigan judge orders lawyers who back President Trump to pay sanctions for sham election lawsuits, plus startling figures on children with autism. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. A big Knick comeback, but still a home loss to Chicago. The Islanders and Devils both lost. NFL, the Cowboys beat the Saints.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. And U.S. stock index futures are treading water this morning ahead of today's jobs report. We're coming up to 5:01 on Wall Street. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day. On Bloomberg, S&P futures down about 4 points, Dow futures up one now, and NASDAQ futures down 36, 10-year Treasury up 1/32nd, yield 1.44%. Nathan.
All right, Karen, thanks. Let's begin in Washington this morning, where the threat of a government shutdown has been averted. For now, the Senate passed a bill last night that'll fund the government through mid-February. Amy Morris has the latest from our Bloomberg 99.1 newsroom in Washington.
Nathan, the bipartisan vote followed a day of negotiations between Senate leaders and a group of conservative Republicans who wanted to include an amendment that would block President Biden's COVID-19 vaccine mandates. Now, they voted on that amendment, which failed, so now the stopgap spending measure is waiting for President Biden's signature. The continuing resolution puts agencies on autopilot. It freezes funding levels and forbids most new contracts. And there's no sign of lawmakers being able to resolve the larger impasse that's blocking full-year appropriations bills. The next deadline is February 18th. In Washington, I'm Amy Morris, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Amy, thank you. Let's turn to the pandemic now and news that New York has become the fourth state to identify cases of the Omicron variant. Bloomberg's Michael Barr joins us live with the very latest. Michael, good morning.
Good morning, Karen. All of the five Omicron cases are from the New York City metropolitan area. New York Governor Kathy Hochul.
This is an individual who traveled from South Africa, who tested negative upon returning to the U.S. on 11/25. And on November 30th, they took a point-of-care test, and they did test positive.
New York is reporting more than 11,000 new COVID-19 cases, the most since January, as dozens of hospitals near capacity. Hochul is also urging anyone who attended an annual anime convention at the Javits Center to get tested after Minnesota reported a positive Omicron case in one of the attendees. Live from New York, Michael Barr, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Okay, Michael, thank you. President Biden's looking to booster shots to fight rising COVID infections. He outlined his strategy in a speech at the National Institutes of Health.
Folks, if you're over the age of 18 and you got vaccinated before June the 2nd, 6 months has gone by. Go get your booster now.
The president's asking health providers to expand access to vaccines and boosters. The White House will also make free home COVID tests more available, with insurers footing the bill.
Well, Nathan, the big question right now is, when will we know exactly how the Omicron variant holds up to current vaccines? We have an answer from Moderna this morning, about 10 days. That's according to Moderna co-founder Robert Langer, who made the forecast at a conference in Sydney, Australia.
Until then, Karen, we look to experts like Dr. Anthony Fauci, and we'll be speaking to him later today. Tune in for an interview with Dr. Fauci, who serves as President Biden's chief medical advisor, this afternoon at 3:30 p.m. Eastern Time.
Well, we hear from the experts, Nathan, and wait for the data. Markets remain focused on policy from the Federal Reserve. Officials have come out in droves to say the Fed may speed up its plan to cut asset purchases. And now you can add Governor Randy Quarles to that list.
I certainly would be supportive of a committee decision to move the end of the taper forward from where people had been expecting it.
Governor Randy Quarles is also talking about hiking interest rates next year. He says if inflation is over 4% in the spring, it might be time for the Fed to start raising rates.
Now, today's jobs report will also play into Fed policy, Karen. We get November payrolls data at 8:30 a.m. Wall Street time, and economists predict a gain of 550,000. Let's get more from Bloomberg Economics correspondent Michael McKee.
With Fed officials all but announcing they will speed up their QE tapering this month, the November jobs report is more of a checklist item for the central bank. As long as the number of jobs restored is over 400,000 to 500,000 and unemployment falls, the Fed will look past the data. They're beginning to pay more attention to rising prices. In particular, they would be reassured by an increase in the participation rate. If more people are looking for work, it would ease wage pressures, and the Fed is now concerned about inflation's impact on worker pay demands. The Fed is also looking to see unemployment for minorities and women decline. That would enable them to declare they are closer to their maximum employment goal, leaving them free to focus on inflation. Michael McKee, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Michael, thank you. While the job numbers look healthy, a shortage of workers persists across much of the country, and a new survey shows that trend will likely continue. We get the details from Bloomberg's Lisa Mateo.
A poll from the U.S. Chamber of Commerce suggests unemployed Americans are in no rush to get back to work. 20% of respondents say they aren't active at all in searching for work. An additional 15% call themselves not very engaged in the hunt for a new job. All 529 of the respondents became unemployed during the pandemic. Less than half say they've been strongly active in the search for a job. In New York, I'm Lisa Mateo, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Lisa, thanks. Turning to corporate news now. We knew it was coming, but now it's official. Didi Global, the Chinese ride-hailing company, is preparing to delist from U.S. stock exchanges. Bloomberg Daybreak Asia anchor Brian Curtis has more from Hong Kong.
As Didi pulls out, it starts work on a Hong Kong listing. The company appears to have had no choice but to yield to demands by Chinese regulators. We reported last week that officials told Didi's executives to plan a withdrawal. Sources say Didi is aiming to file in Hong Kong around March. Why the switch? Well, China's concern about sensitive data leaking to its rival. Brian Curtis, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Brian, thank you. Well, back here in the U.S., Elon Musk is at it again. The Tesla CEO has sold another round of stock, offloading about $1 billion in Tesla shares. The sales will help offset taxes he faces from exercising options. He'll need to offload 17 million more shares to reach the 10% stake he plans to sell in Tesla. And straight ahead, your latest local headlines, plus a check of sports. And this is Bloomberg.
5:07 on Wall Street. We're at 45 degrees in Central Park, and an accident has northbound Route 202 shut down into Route 31. Michael Barr is back with more on what's going on in New York and around the world. Michael?
Thank you very much, Nathan. Now more on the Omicron COVID cases in New York City. New York's governor said all the cases appear to show mild symptoms, and at least one of the patients had recently returned from travel to South Africa. At a joint briefing with Governor Hochul, New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio urged New Yorkers to get vaccinated, or if they are vaccinated, get the booster shots.
We have a massive vaccination apparatus, and that is by far our best capacity to protect everyone against this variant or any other form of COVID.
Meanwhile, Mayor de Blasio also says the city has set a vaccine mandate for religious and private school workers. They have to show proof they received at least the first shot by December 20th. A judge has ordered nine lawyers allied with former President Donald Trump to pay Detroit and Michigan a total of $175,000 in sanctions for abusing the court system with a sham lawsuit challenging the 2020 election results. Among the sanctioned lawyers were Sidney Powell and Lynn Wood. Federal authorities are inquiring about sexual harassment claims against former New York Governor Andrew Cuomo. Bloomberg's Ed Baxter reports.
This is the Justice Department, according to a disclosure in a contract filed with the New York State Comptroller's Office. So according to that contract, it stops short of being an official investigation, but an inquiry to determine if a federal investigation should begin. Cuomo resigned in August after State Attorney General Letitia James released her report on a pattern of allegations. He has denied all of those allegations, and a spokesman says he was told a civil probe was opened after the AG's, quote, potentially motivated sham report, and then has heard nothing since. DOJ has not commented. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Alec Baldwin says someone is responsible for the shooting on a New Mexico film set that killed a cinematographer, but it's not him. In an ABC interview, Baldwin said he would do anything to undo what happened, but he's not the person who put the live bullet in the gun. The number of children with autism is rising, according to a new report from the CDC. According to the data, in children age 8, 1 out of 44 has the condition. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Thanks, Michael. Almost 5:10 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Sports Update. Good morning, John Stashower.
Good morning, Nathan. The inconsistency continues for the Knicks. Some good games, some bad ones, and that's been the case even within games, like last night at the Garden. Miserable start. Chicago led by 20 in the first quarter, but the Knicks rallied, briefly took the lead. Still, the Bulls won 119-115. DeMar DeRozan, 34 points. Zach LaVine and Nick Vucevic both scored 27. Julius Randle led the Knicks with 30. He had 12 rebounds, but also 7 turnovers and 2 costly missed free throws late in the game. Knicks just 5-7 at home. They welcome in Denver tomorrow afternoon. Phoenix just won its 18th game in a row. That's a team record. In Memphis, the biggest blowout in NBA history. Grizzlies 152, Oklahoma City 79. The Islanders still have not won a game at the new UBS Arena. They did at least collect a point, but they failed to score over the last 64 minutes. San Jose won 2-1 on an Erik Karlsson goal, opening minute of overtime. The Isles' ninth loss in a row. Devils have now dropped 4-5. They fell at Minnesota 5-2. Rangers off to the fourth best start in team history. They're home tonight for San Jose. Thursday night football to kick off week 13. Much needed win for Dallas. 27-17 at New Orleans. That's the Saints' fourth loss in a row. Baseball Commissioner Rob Manfred spoke the day after the owners locked the players out.
I don't feel frustrated. I'm disappointed we didn't get to an agreement. That's different than being frustrated. I think we're in a process. I'm prepared to continue that process, and I'm optimistic that we're going to get a deal.
Manfred said that for legal reasons, they had to remove the pictures of all players from the MLB website. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
Thanks, John. S&P futures down 4 points right now. Dow futures down 4 as well. NASDAQ futures down 29. The 10-year Treasury up 3/32. The yield 1.43%. Shutdown averted. What next on Capitol Hill? Greg Vallier of AGF Investments joins us next. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg 1130 weather. Sunny today, upper 40s, low 30s tonight. We'll have sunshine in upper 40s tomorrow, low 50s and increasing clouds on Sunday. Currently 45 in Central Park.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. And European stocks and U.S. stock index futures have been wavering this morning as traders await a key jobs report that could stoke expectations for a quicker reduction in Federal Reserve stimulus. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are now extending some declines, down 9 points. Dow futures down 43. NASDAQ futures down 48. The DAX in Germany is little changed. 10-year Treasury up 3/32, yield 1.43%. The yield on the 2-year, 0.61%. NYMEX crude oil is up 2.3%, up $1.55 at $68.06 a barrel. COMEX gold up 0.5% or $8.20 at $17.70.90 an ounce. The euro 1.13 against the dollar. British pound 1.3278. And the yen is at 113.28. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael, good morning.
Good morning, Karen. The Senate has passed a stopgap spending bill that avoids a short-term shutdown and funds the federal government through February 18th. Leaders defused a partisan standoff over federal vaccine mandates. The measure now goes to President Joe Biden to be signed into law. The Omicron variant of COVID-19, first identified in South Africa, has now been detected in countries from the U.S. to South Korea. 5 cases of the variant have been detected in New York City. In the NBA, the Knicks lost. In the NHL, the Islanders lost in OT to the Sharks 2-1. The Devils lost. The Bruins won. Thursday night football, the Cowboys beat the Saints 2717. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Okay, Michael, thanks. It's 519 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is a Bloomberg Daybreak. And as Michael mentioned, Congress has averted a government shutdown, passing a stopgap spending bill that'll head over to President Biden's desk and keep the government funded through mid-February, so lawmakers can rest easy now, right? Let's bring in Greg Valliere, Chief U.S. Policy Strategist at AGF Investments. Greg, good morning.
Good morning, Congress
is going to have a nice, restful weekend here? They've still got a lot on their plate, don't they?
Yeah, I think it's just a small story and a larger novel here that we've got to get through. It's good that the government will stay open until February 18th, but I think a precedent has been set, and that is every new legislative issue is going to have to be tied to vaccine mandates. A lot of Republicans will demand that they end, and that's going to complicate the story for the next 3 weeks.
All right, so that sounds like it could be the first chapter of this long novel here, and I would imagine that sort of throwing an even further complication into this idea of vaccine mandates being tied to further legislation is the fact that Senator Manchin, the moderate for West Virginia, has said he's not too enthused about vaccine mandates for private businesses.
Yeah, that's right, Nathan. He'd been out of the news for the last week or so. It must have driven him crazy, so he got back into the debate last night by saying that he opposes mandates for corporations. That, since the Senate is tied 50-50, any kind of defection from Manchin is a very big deal.
So do you think this is going to be tied to the fight over the debt ceiling as well? I mean, that the score from the Congressional Budget Office, I think it was saying that we could be having trouble meeting our mandates by just a couple weeks from now.
It's a big deal. I continue to say adamantly that the U.S. will not default. If we get close to that, I think that Chuck Schumer is going to have to concede and get all the Democrats behind a bill that would raise the debt ceiling. He wants Republican fingerprints on it as well. He may not get that, but again, I think a U.S. default is extremely unlikely.
But it seems like the negotiations have been difficult, to say the least. What's it going to take to get something of a more manageable solution to the debt ceiling, in your view?
Well, it's going to take, again, I think all of the Democrats agreeing to this budget reconciliation process. There's still other big fights to come, including the $2 trillion Biden Build Back Better bill that I think will stall until much later in the winter. We still have to get a defense bill done. And what's really going to be the problem is time. I think they're going to start running out of time in the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, it does continue to be a hefty plate here for just about all of the agenda in Washington, D.C. What do you see as the biggest sticking points when it comes to President Biden's Build Back Better?
Oh, the cost, you know, $2 trillion, a lot of things that are controversial, like the state and local tax provision, paid leave, things like that. But I would make this one point, Nathan. With all of the confusion and dysfunction in Washington, it's still pretty clear to me that the U.S. economy is remarkably strong. We're going to get an unemployment report at 8:30 this morning that I think will be very solid. I think in this fourth quarter, GDP will be at least 5%. So I understand there's Washington dysfunction and there's concern about inflation, but the overall economy is remarkably dynamic.
The Omicron variant is still a wild card, though, isn't it?
Yep. No question about it. And I would even make the argument that we haven't even begun to confront the Delta variant, which is raging totally out of control in the upper Midwest, Minnesota, places like that. Hospitals are full. So even if this new variant is not as severe as everyone has feared, we still have not gotten a handle on Delta.
Well, we did hear from President Biden sort of throwing the kitchen sink at Delta and Omicron in that plan yesterday, with the focus continuing, though, to be on the pandemic. In our last 30 seconds here, Greg, what does that mean for President Biden's agenda? Obviously, he'd like to focus on getting that passed, but it seems like the pandemic just keeps getting in the way.
It's the pandemic and it's inflation, even though I think the economy is in good shape. So he's in a deep hole. I think the chances of Republicans taking the House have gone up dramatically. The Senate's a little bit closer. But I think for this president, he's got an uphill battle to maintain any kind of control in Congress.
So maybe not so restful a weekend, even with a shutdown averted. Greg Valliere, Chief U.S. Policy Strategist at AGF Investments, thanks as always for coming on early and sharing your thoughts on what's happening in the nation's capital. Checking Wall Street this morning, futures starting to turn a bit lower now, with S&P futures down 12 points, Dow futures down 72, NASDAQ futures down 54, deeper into the red ahead of the release of the November payrolls report. 10-year Treasury up 430 seconds, yield 1.43%. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg 1130 weather, sunshine to end the week, upper 40s, low 30s tonight, sunny upper 40s tomorrow, low 50s, increasing clouds by Sunday, currently 45 in Central Park.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York, Bloomberg 1130, to Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 991, to Boston, Bloomberg 1061, to San Francisco, Bloomberg 960, to the country, Sirius XM Channel 119, and around the globe, the Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
It's 5:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We're just about 4 hours away from the open of U.S. trading. Let's hit you up to date in the news you need to know at this hour. Beginning in Washington, the threat of a government shutdown has been averted after the Senate passed a stopgap bill to fund the government for another 2.5 months.
An agreement has been reached between Democrats and Republicans that will allow the Senate to take up and pass the continuing resolution to fund the government through February 18.
Majority Leader Chuck Schumer says the next task for Congress will be lifting the federal debt ceiling. The stopgap spending measure now heads to President Biden's desk.
Well, more news on the pandemic this morning, Karen, as New York becomes the fourth state to identify cases of the Omicron variant. Governor Kathy Hochul's reporting 5 cases of the new strain in Queens, Brooklyn, and Long Island.
We want people to know that the early cases that have arisen are not life-threatening. They seem to be minor cases, and that is a source of good news for us right now.
And Governor Kathy Hochul warns it's not a cause for alarm. She says there are no plans for a shutdown or for a change to COVID protocols.
Well, President Biden is touting booster shots to fight rising COVID infections, Nathan. He outlined the strategy in a speech at the National Institutes of Health.
My plan I'm announcing today pulls no punches in the fight against COVID-19, and it's a plan that I think should unite us.
The president's asking health providers to expand access to vaccines and boosters. The White House will also make free home COVID tests more available, with insurers footing the bill.
Well, the big question right now, Karen, is when will we know exactly how the Omicron variant holds up to current vaccines? Well, we have an answer from Moderna this morning, about 10 days. That's according to Moderna co-founder Robert Langer, who made the forecast at a conference in Sydney, Australia.
The Omicron variant is front and center for the markets, Nathan, but this morning, so are jobs. We get the monthly payrolls report about 3 hours from now, and economists forecast a gain of around 550,000. Here with more is Bloomberg's Vinny Del Giudice.
In October, the economy added 531,000 jobs, the most since July's gain of 1.1 million. Bloomberg Economics anticipates more strength absence a resurgence of COVID-19. Wages have been gaining ground amid job openings. U.S. jobless claims, meantime, are running near a half-century low. Vinny Del Giudice, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Vinny, thank you. And futures this morning are lower. S&P futures down 9 points, Dow futures down 44, NASDAQ futures down 43, and the 10-year Treasury up 330 seconds, yield 1.43%. Straight ahead, your latest local headlines, plus a check of sports, and this is Bloomberg.
It's 5:33 on Wall Street. We're at 45 degrees in Central Park and dealing with construction. It's got the Eastern Spur shut down at the mixing bowl. Michael Barr is here with more on what's going on in New York and around the world. Michael?
Thank you very much, Nathan. New York Mayor Bill de Blasio says the city can expect more cases of the Omicron variant. De Blasio spoke at a joint briefing with Governor Kathy Hochul.
We know we now have cases here in New York City. We have to assume that means there's community spread. We have to assume that means we're going to see a lot more cases.
De Blasio urged New Yorkers to get vaccinated, or if they are vaccinated, to get booster shots. Mayor de Blasio is also extending his order requiring COVID-19 vaccines to include teachers and staff at private and religious schools. A former housekeeper testified that two women who have accused Jeffrey Epstein of sexually abusing them as teens were repeated visitors to his Palm Beach mansion and that they were summoned by Epstein or his associate Ghislaine Maxwell. Juan Patricio Alisi began testifying yesterday at Maxwell's sex trafficking trial. Alec Baldwin says someone is responsible for the shooting on a New Mexico film set that killed a cinematographer, but it's not him. In an ABC interview, Baldwin said he would do anything to undo what happened, but he's not the person who put the live bullet in the gun leading to the death of Helena Hutchins. Baldwin said it was Hutchins herself who directed him to point the gun at her, and they both believed that it was empty.
So I take the gun and I start to cock the gun. I'm not going to pull the trigger. I said, do you see that? She goes, well, just cheat it down and tilt it down a little bit like that. And I cock the gun. I go, can you see that? Can you see that? Can you see that? And she says, and then I let go of the hammer of the gun and the gun goes off.
The Baldwin accident happened October 21st on the set of the Western Rust. A judge has ordered nine lawyers allied with former President Donald Trump to pay Detroit and Michigan a total of $175,000 in sanctions for abusing the court system with a sham lawsuit challenging the 2020 election results. Among the sanctioned lawyers were Sidney Powell and Lynn Wood. The number of children with autism is rising, according to a new report from the CDC. According to the data, in children age 8, one out of 44 has the condition. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Thanks, Michael. 5:35 on Wall Street, time for the Bloomberg Sports Update with John Stashower.
All right, Nathan, Knicks were shorthanded, Nerlens Noel injured, RJ Barrett sick, Taj Gibson got thrown out in the first quarter, and Kemba Walker has gone from being the starting point guard to suddenly never playing at all. Knicks wiped away a 21-point first-half deficit, took the lead, but Chicago pulled it out, 119-115, three Bulls combined for 88 points. DeMar DeRozan had 34. Zach LaVine and Nick Vucevic 27. Julius Randle led the Knicks with 30. NBA history, the most lopsided score ever. Memphis 152. Oklahoma City 79. A 73-point margin of victory. Phoenix beat Detroit, so the Suns will bring a team record 18-game winning streak to a game tonight at Golden State. LeBron James will play for the Lakers tonight after missing a game due to a positive COVID test. He has since had 8 negative tests. The Islanders last season were one win from playing for the Stanley Cup. This season, last place, 9 losses in a row at the UBS Arena, where the Isles have yet to win. San Jose won 2-1 in overtime. The Isles shut out after a Matthew Barzell goal a minute in. Devils lost 5-2 at Minnesota. NFL Dallas won 27-17 at New Orleans. The baseball lockout was not a surprise. There's some bad blood between the two sides, though Commissioner Rob Manfred downplayed that.
The whole relationship issue... I think people put way too much emphasis on that issue. At the end of the day, it's about the substance. We're here, they're there, we need to find a way to bridge the gap.
The big issue is the union wants players to be able to be free agents after 5 years, not 6. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
Thanks, John. 5:37 on Wall Street. Time for the Tri-State Business Report. Here's Bloomberg's Ed Corey.
New Yorkers had a message for Omicron this week. We're not letting you stop us. Throngs gathered to see the tree lighting at Rockefeller Center, and crowds turned out for opening night at Alvin Ailey's American Dance Theater at City Center, its first season since 2019. The century-old market under the Queensboro Bridge has reopened as a Trader Joe's. The Bridge Market, located inside the base of the bridge, was a home to a food emporium for 16 years till it closed in 2015. The space was completed in 1909 after architect Rafael Guastavino was tapped for the project. A shortage of home listings is hurting property sales in the suburbs of New York City. Potential buyers are coming up empty in their search for a place. Contracts plunged for the fifth consecutive month in Westchester County and Long Island, according to appraiser Miller Samuel in brokerage Douglas Elliman Real Estate. That's your Bloomberg Tri-State Business Report. I'm Ed Corey.
Thanks, Ed. It's 538 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Radio is on the air from San Francisco to New York, London to Hong Kong. Let's check in with our global news team for some of the top stories heard on our 300 affiliate radio stations around the world.
I'm Gina Cervetti, and for WBBM in Chicago, I'm reporting that in a blow to the city, United Airlines plans to move its network operations center out of Chicago into a suburb next year.
I'm Caroline Hepcon, Bloomberg DAB, digital radio in London. We're reporting on bounce-back loans after the NAO watchdog slammed the government's inadequate fraud protection around the cash that went to support businesses in the pandemic.
I'm Steve Potisk, and on 1010 Winds in New York, we're talking about big food betting consumers will soon accept burgers made from maggots and mealworms.
I'm Ed Corey on WTAM in Cleveland. I'm reporting actor Mark Wahlberg and a partner have opened up an RV dealership in Lorain, Ohio.
Those are some of the stories our 2,700 Bloomberg journalists and analysts are working on this morning around the world. It's 5:39 on Wall Street.
The following is an editorial from Bloomberg Opinion.
This editorial was written by the Bloomberg Editorial Board. When lawmakers created the Medicare Part D program in 2003, they forbade the government from negotiating drug prices. So while private insurers could strike deals with drug makers, Medicare couldn't use its enormous leverage to hold prices down. This has helped make U.S. drugs among the most expensive in the world, much more so than in Europe or Canada, where governments are allowed to bargain. A smart measure in Democrats' spending bill could start to fix that. It would allow Medicare to negotiate prices for some of the most expensive drugs, enough to save about $80 billion over 10 years. That would introduce an important new form of cost control in uncompetitive corners of the drug market. If the bill is signed into law, the drug price measure will be one of its biggest achievements. This editorial was written by the Bloomberg Editorial Board. For more Bloomberg Opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or O-P-I-N go on the Bloomberg terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
And you're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. You can hear Bloomberg Opinion editorials every weekday at this time. Terminal customers can read more at O-P-I-N go. Futures moving lower. This is Bloomberg.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and U.S. stock index futures have been extending their declines as traders await a key jobs report that could stoke expectations for a quicker reduction in Federal Reserve stimulus. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures down 14 points, Dow futures down 86, NASDAQ futures down 65. The DAX in Germany is down about 0.2%. 10-year Treasury up 3/32, yield 1.43%. The yield on the 2-year, 0.61%. NYMEX crude oil is up 2.6% of $1.72 at $68.22 a barrel. COMEX gold up 0.6% or $9.80 at $17.72.50 an ounce. The euro 1.1311 against the dollar. British pound 1.3281 and the yen's at 113.25. And the November jobs report is out at 8:30 Wall Street time. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, thank you very much. The Senate last night passed a stopgap spending bill to avert a U.S. government shutdown, sending the measure to President Joe Biden for his signature. The bipartisan vote was 69-28. Another smash-and-grab robbery, this time at a jewelry store in a San Jose, California mall. The five suspects have not been caught but were captured on surveillance footage. Meanwhile, authorities in Los Angeles say they've made more than a dozen arrests in recent smash-and-grab thefts. In the NHL, the Islanders lost in OT to the Sharks 2-1. The Devils lost. The Bruins won. Thursday night football, the Cowboys beat the Saints 27-17. In the NBA, the Knicks lost. And a special score. The Grizzlies beat the Thunder for their eighth loss in a row. The score, 154-79.
Whoa.
For those of you who don't want to do math before breakfast, that's a 75-point difference.
Goodness.
But did they cover the spread? Global News, 24 hours a day on air. And on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
If they didn't, that is some spread. Thank you, Michael. 5:49 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. Now we have to turn to the latest on the pandemic, with the Omicron variant now confirmed in 5 states, including at least 5 cases in the New York City area. Andy Pekosch is with us now, professor of molecular microbiology and immunology at the Johns Hopkins Bloomberg School of Public Health. Professor, it's good to have you with us this morning. It was just 2 days ago that we got the first confirmed case in California. Now it seems like this thing is spreading like wildfire. Can we assume that Omicron is now at a community transmission point?
Well, we've seen the first hints that that is occurring. What we'll know in the next week is how extensively it's transmitting in the community. Remember, on paper, we're concerned about Omicron primarily because of all the mutations that it has that might avoid vaccine-induced immunity. But what we can't tell from a piece of paper and its sequence is how well it really is going to transmit in the population, how fit is this virus, and this is where the epidemiological data over the next week or so is really going to tell us or start to give us the hints as to how big of a threat this really is.
Why do you need all this extra time given how far and wide Omicron has been reported now?
Because we haven't seen those extended transmission chains in communities. I'll go back to variants such as gamma and beta, which came to our attention because they looked very dangerous on paper, but they never became the global threat that variants like alpha or delta did. And so we really need to figure out, is this going to be a threat on the level of a delta variant, or is this going to be something that perhaps could be contained, could be controlled, because it's not as fit as those variants were.
I've seen some headlines that South African researchers plan to complete a study on Omicron's transmissibility and virulence as early as Tuesday. What do you expect we're going to find from that study?
It's going to be interesting to see. South Africa is seeing that surge of cases. They're the first place that reported Omicron spread at a very wide range. Their public health response efforts and organization is really outstanding. And so I think what we're going to hear is how much transmission we're seeing in the community. Are people that are getting infected primarily vaccinated or previously infected or naive people? And that will really give us a snapshot of what this virus is doing and if it's targeting any particular populations.
It seems so far that most of the cases we've heard coming out from the Omicron variant have been mild, whether they came from vaccinated or unvaccinated people. You can correct me if I'm wrong on that. But if that is the case, does that point to a cause for optimism, perhaps?
It's a good first sign, but we have to remember that severity happens about 7 to 10 days or sometimes even 2 weeks after you initially get infected. So we're still in that window of time where we wouldn't expect to see a major surge of severe cases. Again, the next week or two is really going to tell us, are the hospitalization numbers ticking up at the same rate as the infection numbers? And that's going to also be a second marker for disease severity. But I don't want to be a pessimist here. The initial data does suggest that infections are milder. We just have to see more come through.
Well, let's hope that continues to hold up. In the time we have left, Professor, I want to get your reaction to the announcement we got from President Biden yesterday, putting a whole lot of emphasis on testing and vaccination booster shots in his announcement at the White House for a winter COVID surge. Are these the kind of things that we should have been thinking about sooner? What do you think about this new strategy from the White House?
This strategy really focuses on the things that we know will make a difference in controlling not only the Omicron potential outbreak, but the ongoing Delta surge. Testing, contact tracing, vaccination. We've heard this over and over again through the pandemic, but now, as opposed to, let's say, a year or plus ago, we have all these tools in place to be able to effectively use them. And I think the president's plan is a good plan to lay out that blueprint of how to use these things effectively and to scale up their use.
Thank you, as always, for your insights. Dr. Andy Pekosh, professor of molecular microbiology and immunology at the Johns Hopkins Bloomberg School of Public Health, which is supported by Michael Bloomberg, the founder and majority owner of Bloomberg LP. That is the parent company of Bloomberg Radio. Karen.
Nathan, it is 5:54 on Wall Street. It's time for the Bloomberg Law Report, brought to you by American Arbitration Association. Business disputes are inevitable. Resolve faster with the American Arbitration Association, the global leader in alternative dispute resolution for over 90 years. More at ADR.org. Let's get to the legal stories we're watching this morning with Bloomberg's Jeff Bellinger.
Health insurance companies and employers are wary of the costs and the potential for price gouging after President Biden announced that private insurance will be required to cover the full cost of at-home COVID testing. A California appellate court upheld the injunction against Netflix that ordered the streaming giant to stop poaching fixed-term employees from 20th Century Fox. Hogan Lovells and Mayer Brown are the latest big law firms to match Kravitz's new $115,000 annual bonus scale for associate attorneys.
Bloomberg Law. Everything you need, all on one legal research platform, including guidance, analysis, and Bloomberg Market Intelligence. Find out more at BloombergLaw.com.
Jeff, thank you. Now another legal story we're watching. After nearly 3 months of hearing from the prosecution, Elizabeth Holmes took the stand in her own defense in California. Holmes is charged with defrauding investors and patients by lying about the success of her startup Theranos and its blood testing machine. For more on the trial, June Grosso speaks to Bloomberg legal reporter Joel Rosenblatt.
She had this reputation for being dynamic and personable. How did she come across on the stand? Did you see that?
Yeah. When she first appeared, she was basically pitching her company. The start of her defense was that Theranos is a legitimate company, and they showed videos kind of ripping the top off of her company's blood testing analyzers and really looking at the insides of it and her explaining that. And you could see her almost pitching it the way she pitched it to investors. And so she came across as a saleswoman who very much knew her stuff, and she came across as highly intelligent and pretty calm.
Did she ever come out and say that the machine worked?
She did say that. I mean, she described it as a kind of continuing work in progress, but that it was working and it was doing what they had hoped it would do, or it was just at least very close. She emphasized definitely in the beginning, again, this changed, but that it was working. She didn't make the claim that it worked just exactly as she had advertised. In other words, she didn't outright lie and say it did the hundreds or even thousands of tests that Theranos had claimed that the machine could do.
Was her main defense then when she said coming up short is not a crime?
That's where she ultimately got to, but it took a very dramatic turn about why the company failed. When she started pointing the blame at other people, including her lab director and her ex-boyfriend and the former president of Theranos, Sonny Balwani.
And that's Bloomberg legal reporter Joel Rosenblatt speaking with June Grosso. Catch more of that interview plus analysis of the latest legal news by subscribing to the Bloomberg Law Podcast or downloading the show at Bloomberg.com/podcast. Attorneys can find exceptional legal research and business development tools at BloombergLaw.com and on the Bloomberg terminal at BLawGo. And again, futures are lower this morning with S&P futures down 15 points, Dow futures down 93, NASDAQ futures are down 60. The 10-year Treasury up 3/32, yield 1.43%, and a yield on the two-year, 0.61%. NYMEX crude oil is up 2.6%. And still ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak, we have a check on the business headlines and all the news you need to start your day. And this is Bloomberg.